God of our forebears, who paved the way for our being in this place, help us now to give up complacency, truly love one another, and hunger and thirst after righteousness. As we build our treasure with you, may your bread of heaven and cup of salvation feed our souls with peace and unspeakable joy. In the name of God, our Creator, God, our Redeemer, and God, our Sustainer. Amen. When our rector told me that I was preaching my first sermon here on August 1st, I read the gospel for today, which you just heard, and thought to myself, preaching to Episcopalians about giving up their money. Well, this is certainly a good way to win friends and influence people. So I'll have to thank Father Phil for giving me this opportunity. Just remember, I'm only the messenger. I stand as a messenger of a gospel that not only comforts us so that we feel good, but troubles us to be better, to be the people God calls us to be. The Pew study on U.S. Christianity documents that the Episcopal Church is the wealthiest denomination per capita of all denominations, with the majority of its adherents cherishing the finer things in life. Given the many recent conversations in the last two decades about sexuality, it appears that Episcopalians have an easier time talking about sex than money. I find it rather interesting that some Episcopalians have chided other Episcopalians for not following the three New Testament passages by Paul on homosexual activity after racing past the over 100 verses in the Gospels by Jesus about giving up wealth and material possessions. As a professor of pastoral theology and congregational leadership at Pacific School of Religion, I teach seminarians the art of facilitating sometimes a rather difficult conversation with parishioners about a gospel that calls us to the needs and rights of others rather than one that coddles us in our wealth. However, living in the United States, a country leading in material wealth and consumption, it is a challenge even for Christians to be faithful to this gospel when the worth of our very being is often predicated on the amount of our bank accounts and assets. In the bling-bling U.S. culture of the 21st century, where celebrities, entertainers, and professional sports figures are dangled over our heads, luring us to get as much money as we can, there might be some struggle in hearing Jesus' words to be on your guard against all kinds of greed. When we think of the lifestyles of the rich and famous, the millions and billions of Oprah, Donald Trump, the Goldman Sachs guys, Alex Rodriguez, or Tiger Woods, at least for the moment, we may think of the comfort and pleasure we could experience by traveling whenever and wherever we want, wearing what we want, and returning to a luxurious home with everything at our fingertips. Given that we've witnessed Smooth P. Diddy make money work for him and Lady Gaga keeping a poker face, becoming a sensation seemingly overnight, we may find ourselves focused on how we can get more and more and more. And in a number of mega churches in particular, we can hear a disturbing prosperity gospel being preached that if you are in God's favor, material wealth will flow. Yet we are confronted with the gospel before us that one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And inasmuch as this culture has historically stored up wealth on the backs of slaves, free labor in fields, immigrants, cheap labor in shops, and more recently from the sweat of immigrants, our Mexican sisters and brothers, cheap labor in our lawns, gardens, and plants, the gospel also speaks to the nation today. As we think about our economy in flux today, we, like the brother in this passage, have concern and sometimes irrational fear about others taking our jobs and future inheritance. Like this greedy man in the parable, who hoarded material goods, greed led those in this culture to store up material treasure from subprime loans and a housing boom, cheap oil, and corporate corruption, ultimately costing us two wars, a housing bust, loss of jobs, and an oily mess in the Gulf of Mexico. But we're all products of this economic cocoon, preoccupied with how to get money and how to keep it. In this kind of world, it becomes a struggle to see the injustice of a system that privileges those with lots of money in the same way that we have learned to oppose systems that privilege some over others based on skin color, gender, and sexual orientation. So this is why the gospel cries out to us today, material possessions will pass. How is your soul, your spiritual treasure with God? This is the question that Jesus puts before a crowd. Here in Luke's gospel, we find that someone in the crowd confronts Jesus about family inheritance. This person asks Jesus to tell his older brother to divide the family inheritance with him. Custom allowed for the younger to get a portion, while the older would receive a double portion. Jesus expresses much concern for getting in the middle of this family fight. You may have had the unfortunate experience of being in a similar situation. Perhaps there are no nastier fights in families than those related to money and inheritance. So Jesus is like, what? I am not the one. I am not a judge getting in the middle of this situation. However, Jesus does perceive this as one more example of greed and says that one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. So in typical Jesus fashion, he sees this as a teachable moment and offers this story. Known as the parable of the rich fool, the passage is a moral lesson on misplaced priorities. This rich man's sole focus is on acquiring more material goods. He neither acknowledges God for such blessings, nor commits himself to share it with others. And so the story goes. The land of this rich man produced abundantly, so much so that he ran out of room to store his crops. When he runs out of room, he plans to build larger barns to store his grains and goods. As he thinks about his future with all his wealth and material goods, he makes plans to relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Jesus drives home the point that the man centers everything around himself. It's all in the first person. What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grains and goods. I will say to my soul, eat, drink, and be merry. Since this rich man had more than he needed, one might think he would have considered sharing some of this abundance. But he used all his brain cells, thinking of how he could contain every little bit of it for himself. As one biblical scholar puts it, quote, the thought of giving it to persons never crosses his mind, end quote. Not once did he say that he would give some to those in need, to Haitian neighbors living in subhuman conditions, to Albanian families teetering on death from malnutrition, to Ugandan mothers spending every day sowing beads to feed their children, to Asian or Middle Eastern neighbors, to homeless Orange County children happy if their parents can occasionally find them a motel, to Oakland children in despair from poor schools, but rather he decides to build a larger barn, a superstore, to store all his grains and goods. I know this may be difficult, but try to imagine walking into a store with merchandise from the floor to the ceiling, with all kinds of choices. There is plenty to eat and drink in order to be merry, large portions, and all you can eat compound, all his. He celebrates that it is all his. He does not say, wow, I have so much. I cannot use it all. I will share it with others. Or I wish that there were others around to have some of this. Somewhere he missed or lost the message of generosity. It does not matter where we are in life. We can all share. Growing up in Florida, I witnessed my parents teach me by example that we are called to give to others. Even with their limited means, I saw my mother and father give, even when they did not have much, to help those who had less. The material possessions will pass. How is your spiritual treasure with God? What do we do with our wealth? For the time that we have on earth, how do we use our money, our material goods as Christians in creating the beloved community? Having been born into poverty himself and having witnessed so many with money refuse to give it to others and himself, Jesus knew quite well that money could cause one to lose sight of God's kingdom. While Jesus is not advocating that we endure unending suffering and not enjoy life, he nonetheless cautions us not to get lost in our greed and fail to think about God and others. As we can observe with children hoarding toys, if we are not mindful and intentional, we can lose focus on others because of our stuff and become too self-centered, too selfish, and arrogant in our gains. I do not hear this parable dissuading us from the money needed to take care of ourselves, but warning us against excess in riches that cause us to lose sight of the care for others. Thus, our needs can become greed with an insatiable desire for more and more, while many of our sisters and brothers around us are hungry, ill-clothed, and poor. We cannot hear the cries because we need a bonus or stimulus package to feed our greed and help us out of the debt we created because we built larger barns. As in this case, the man tries to establish security in his possessions. But as we have seen so vividly in the last few years, building one's future on material things offers a false sense of security. Faith in God, however, is a faith that can sustain you in the midst of life's unpleasant realities. This example reminds us that our money cannot keep us from death. And we could add, not from illness, grief, or uncertainty. These realities of life remind us that there are some things that money cannot buy. The material possessions will pass away, but how is your spiritual treasure with God? And all this gaining, this man forgot about God and his soul. Where is the love for those in the world around him? The scripture tells us that we cannot love God who we have not seen if we do not love others who we see every day. For if you fail to love them, you have done it to our Lord. You have not built a rich treasure with God, become a good steward, and avoided the problem of greed. Greed is not unique to our culture, but can be observed throughout the world. Greed can lead us not only to forget about others, but can have destructive consequences of violence and death to women, children, and men. Based on Greg Campbell's masterful book, Blood Diamonds, a harrowing account of the notorious diamond trade in Sierra Leone, Edward Zwick directed the heart-wrenching movie Blood Diamond, starring Leonardo DiCaprio, Zemo Husu, and Jennifer Connelly, which tells the sad tale of children, youth, and adults ripped from their families by armed militia and mercenaries to work for lucrative diamond trafficking. This week, the War Crimes Tribunal for Sierra Leone will begin an investigation of the greed that led to human atrocities committed during the last decade and a half. And while in this parable, the rich fool does not allow his greed to lead him to violent destruction, he nonetheless is not centered on helping others, but rather storing up more for himself than he has room. In both cases, material goods lead those away from thinking of others to only thinking of themselves. In this respect, wealth controls the individual without the spiritual treasure that leads one to show compassion and concern for those who are ill, who will not have a roof over their heads tonight, those who cannot eat, drink, and be merry. What is shown to us again and again throughout the Gospels is that we must balance what we have with those who have not. When we build our spiritual treasure and are as intentional in listening to God as we listen to the stocks, in serving others as we serve ourselves, then we will have treasure in God. In the early and mid 20th century, there lived a rich man in the United States. Steeped in his Baptist faith, he was a Christian who understood that hoarding money and having material possessions without regard for the betterment of humankind was indeed a failure in life. He firmly believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ that emphasized that our material blessings must ultimately point us toward richness with God, our soul, our neighbor. Toward this end, he gave millions of his dollars to build a church. It was a church that would bring together factions of fundamentalism with progressive Christianity. For decades, this church has reached toward the sky as a shining beacon, housing a social gospel ministry, a kind of preaching that has compelled God's people to give hope to the downtrodden and the most vulnerable in this world. For decades, people have entered its doors to be renewed and left reassured that God cares for them and in their giving cares for others. And if you go to the highest hills of Manhattan at 120th and Riverside Drive, you will see that great edifice dedicated to God and God's people. It is the Riverside Church. The man's name was John D. Rockefeller, Jr. Riverside stands in large part because he, one of the richest men who ever lived, understood the need to be rich toward God. Unlike the rich fool, Rockefeller became a rich man of God because he did not forget that all things come of thee, O Lord, and of his own he gave to God. He decided to build a large storehouse in his heart to God and others. Our brother provides a great example of stewardship. So as you acquire your possessions, great or small, remember to build your hopes on things eternal. Build your treasure with the God who is above all temporal goods. Never let these goods turn you away from God and neighbor that give you something greater than all earthly goods. The songwriter Harris Johnson says it best. Some folks would rather have houses and land. Some folks choose silver and gold. These things they treasure and forget about their soul. I've decided to make Jesus my choice. The road is rough, the going gets tough, and the hills are hard to climb. I've started out a long time ago, and there is no doubt in my mind, I've decided to make Jesus my choice. My sisters, my brothers, above all, let your treasure be rich with God.